Please rise for the processional hymn, hymn number 697, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Wow, I was confused. Yeah, you may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise today is hymn number 881, Let All Things Now Living. The Lord be with you. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, look at you, got it.
The first reading today is from Isaiah 43, 16 through 21. Thus says the Lord, who makes the way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 126, and we'll read it responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verse 4b to 14. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Savior. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached that goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have laid hold of it, but one thing I have laid hold of, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal, toward the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading is from John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There he gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I came to church last Sunday and saw the gospel, and I really wanted to do the prodigal son. Being the oldest of four siblings, I have thoughts about that story. It's not my favorite. But apparently, God had me wanting to talk about love. So here we go. Mary is the star of today's story, and she does not speak a word. Jesus uses Mary to teach us about love one more time. Our story revolves around a perennial herb called nard or spikenard. It's a plant that's grown in India for its oil, and it's very expensive. Nard is still used today in last rite rituals. The Bible says a pint was 300 denarii, or a working man's yearly wage. I found it on Amazon. It's still very expensive. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are close friends of Jesus. He would often stay at their home in Bethany. Lazarus' family is not poor. We know they had entertained Jesus and his friends before. They had enough money to afford a family tomb and enough money for nard to anoint or embalm Lazarus, as well as Mary and Martha. To get the context of today's story, we need to go back to chapter 11. Jesus learns his friend has died. He returns to Bethany and does the miraculous. He raises Lazarus from the dead. After raising Lazarus, Jesus retreats to the desert to await his final entry into Jerusalem. I've often wondered if anyone was with him and what he did. But at any rate, On his way to Jerusalem, he stops to see his friends one last time. In the spirit of thanksgiving, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus give a dinner for Jesus and his followers to honor him and celebrate Lazarus' return to his family. This is a party in Jesus' honor. Everyone is having a great time, and everyone is exhibiting their usual traits. Lazarus is playing master of the house, Martha is organizing the meal, and Mary is just gone. Can't you see Martha saying, "Now where is she?" Do you think Jesus is as cheerful and boisterous as the rest of the guests? I see him sitting more to himself, quiet and withdrawn, maybe even a little anxious. It's hard to celebrate when you know that in 6 days you will be sentenced to death. Then Mary enters with a whole pint of nard and pours it on Jesus' feet. When she opens the jar, it says the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. Scientists say our human sense of smell has the deepest connection to our memories. We have all experienced a moment when a random aroma or smell instantly reminds us of a time or a place or a person from our past. And I suspect that that's what happened to the people at the banquet. They were suddenly reminded of the events of the recent past and forced to consider what Jesus was saying. Remember, Jesus was quite open with his disciples about the fact that he was going to die and rise again. They didn't get what he meant, but Mary somehow understood the fate that awaited Jesus. She was not only overcome with gratitude for what Jesus had done, she seems to know his death is coming soon, and she points to the death by anointing him with her own embalming ointment. Maybe at this time in Jesus' life, that's exactly what he needed. It's hard to imagine Jesus struggling, and yet, could Jesus be human like me? When was the last time you were overwhelmed by life's events, and at the moment you were ready to quit, you felt someone's arm around you or heard a knock on your door? Someone who knew they couldn't change things, but just by being there said, "I'm here." They were just doing what they were doing because that's what they were doing. No words were needed. When was the last time you did something for someone else, without expectations, with no strings attached, without any conditions? No reason for what you were doing. You were just doing what you were doing because that's what you were doing. No words were needed. Mary's act of devotion shows her humility and her courage. In Mediterranean culture, it would have been the servants who washed the feet of the visitors. It was an unusual act to pour oil on Jesus' feet when normally it was poured on the head. And she used her hair to wipe them. A respectable woman did not unbind her hair in public, much less touch a man. Jewish women were to be unheard and unseen. Her actions probably cost her personal honor to express her love for Jesus. Judas, however, can see none of that. He's upset by Mary's extravagant act of devotion. To him, it just seems like a waste of a valuable commodity. And so he blurts out his initial reaction to what Mary has done. "That perfume is worth a year's wages." And the other guests probably murmur in agreement. Immediately realizing that his objection may be in bad taste, he tries to add a virtuous spin. "It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." And it was a Jewish custom to give gifts to the poor on the evening of the Passover. Jesus puts an end to the debate by graciously accepting Mary's gift and the heart behind it. And if Jesus' quote about the poor seems sarcastic and cruel, the correct interpretation from Deuteronomy 15 says, "The poor will always have you for them." Jesus isn't talking about charity. He's inviting his disciples into a life with and for the poor. That's what's going on with Mary in today's gospel. She loves because she loves. There is no why. She stands in contrast to Judas. Maybe he was, as our text says, a thief. Maybe he really did want to help the poor. There are multiple ways to interpret his remarks. In any event, Judas is practical. Judas has to have a why. Let's not draw conclusions about Judas and Mary. It would be easy to say, "Mary is good, Judas is bad. Mary is right, Judas is wrong." But what if they're images of ourselves? When have you been Mary? When have you been Judas? I don't know if we can ever truly live without a why. I'm sure that Mary, too, went back to her old self, wanting to know why things happen. And the story ends there. We don't know what happened next. Bethany is 2 miles from Jerusalem. Did the party just pick up and follow Jesus into Jerusalem, part of the group that raised the palms? Were they at the Passover meal and in the courtyard when people chose Barabbas? Were Mary and Martha with the women who went to the tomb? Some moments of extravagant love, much like Mary's nard, are temporary, but not all. Our church accompanists labor to prepare intricate anthems for one performance. Thank you, Anne and Marita. It's extravagant love to ensure that altar candles are filled with oil every Sunday. Thank you, Arnie. It's an extravagant love to donate a kidney to a stranger, or place oneself in front of a gunman to save a child, or adopt a stray animal. Extravagant love isn't about duty, it's about devotion. No words are needed. Mary models the most important part of our faith, the extravagant gift of love. Her actions convey what cannot be spelled out in words or even thought, and can only be demonstrated through an act of the heart. The opportunity to love is always there. No act of love is too small. No act of love is too large when inspired by our love of God. Corinthians 13 ends with this: and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Our hymn of the day is hymn number 685, Take My Life That I May Be. Please rise for the confession of faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. The church declares your praise, O God. Guide us in the example of Isaiah's imagination, Paul's transformed identity, and Mary's faith and devotion, that our lives too may be poured out in love as we trust in your promises. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. The earth declares your praise, O God. Make a way for the plants' future in the sea and the wilderness, the mountains and plains, the tundra and wetlands. Repair habitats and sustainable ecosystems on, above, and beneath the ground. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. The nations declare your praise, O God. Where religious differences divide, bring together those who worship you in the name of Jesus Christ and those who call to you with different names. Guide interreligious dialogue that faith may unite rather than divide communities. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. The people declare your praise, O God. Restore those whose hope had been dampened through a health diagnosis, job or home loss, divorce or death. Bring healing to those in need. May all who weep sing songs of joy again. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. The gifts of the Spirit declare your praise, O God. We thank you for artists who proclaim the gospel, inspire music, poetry, and images that proclaim the new thing you are doing. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. The communion of saints declares your praise, O God. Giving thanks for those who have died, we trust in the one who has made them his own, Jesus Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. God, in your mercy, receive our prayer. Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love, in the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all, and also with you. Please join in the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. So, Charlie, you want to come up? Because I see your sisters abandon us. Again. You don't want to, you don't have to. We can skip it this week.
Yeah, well, we want to hear it.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
Well, all right. If you want to, you know, you want me to stand or you want me to sit? Okay. When we were listening to Vic, she was talking about the love that Mary was showing. Right? Did you hear that?
Yes.
I just wanted to know. You heard that. And she talked about all the ways that we should show love to one another. But in, well, I was going to do two different things, but we'll only do one different thing. In the Bible, it talks about judging others. What were they doing? They were like, Mary, they were doing it for their own gain. They're like, Mary, why are you using that expensive stuff on his feet? Right? Did you hear that part in the gospel? She was showing that kind of love. It says, but in Matthew chapter 7, it says, do not judge so that you may not be judged. My mother used to say that to me all the time. Judge not, lest you be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be measured, the measure that you give. So, what happened to him when he judged Mary? He was a thief. He probably got his just punishment. So, in chapter 7, verse 4, or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? I thought about that a lot as a kid. How did somebody get a log in their eye? When you judge, you got a log in your eye. So that's why he says, judge not. You hypocrite, says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Right? Yeah. So that means, take your own log out. He should have taken the log out. Stop judging Mary, because there was a log he had that he could have been judged for. Okay, monkeys? Are we good? All right. Okay, Maxine.
Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Gunnar Julio, Carissa Bauer. Happy birthday this week to Karen Odishay, Paxton Bartholomew, Jessica Grover, Sarah Kendall, Don Blager, and Alex Unraw. Happy anniversary this week to Gary and Mickey Harmison, Josh and Diane Sims. I guess there's some other announcements.
The worship committee is meeting right after church in the boardroom, and if you have any hymns you would like to suggest that we sing, this is your chance.
The offering will be collected at this time.
And she's abandoned you still. Carry on.
Thank you.
Please rise for the offering hymn. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now the benediction. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our recessional hymn is hymn number 669, Rise Up, O Saints of God. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.